Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers? What the fuck buddies? What the fuck nicks? What the fuckadelics? What the fucktopians? I don't know. You know how it goes. There's a lot of them. Over the years, many names. People used to send me lists of names. Many lists. Very helpful, but I can only get to three or four. Look, folks, I'm just getting by like the rest of you. Are you getting by? Is everything all right? It's unclear. We were talking about it today. Brendan McDonald's here in town for something maybe I'll tell you about. I got a contest winner observing me. I'm being observed. And we were talking about where are we at with the rules? Like some people, you go into places, you don't even know if the place, I think in California, it's up to the place whether you wear the mask or not. And then if it says that you do wear a mask, you go in and there's people not wearing masks, but no one seems to give a fuck. And then there's people wearing masks. And then there's still people wearing masks outside, which they haven't had to do for weeks. So I'm starting to realize that like some people are having a little detachment problem. They're having a little problem letting go of the mask. They've gotten used to it. They like people only seeing half their face. They like just being recognized by their terrified, sad eyes everywhere they go. So I don't know. I think we're going to have to let this stuff go. I mean, we're just going to have to tolerate people who want to wear them. I understand it. My friend Lipsight in New York, he actually said to me, he said, I don't think I'm ever going to take it off. But he took it off. But maybe we should just incorporate them into our lives, because if you're like me, you've got a nice back stock. Like in the panic, I bought, I probably got maybe 100 N95s of different sorts. So I'm set. I'm set for the next pandemic. I'm set for fire season. I'm ready to go. I've got the kind with the little ventilator on the top, on the front, that you're not supposed to wear, you know, in places, because it only protects you and not other people. But it's going to be good when I need to hike and the entire state's on fire. So I'm prepared for that. I'm prepared for fire. I'm also prepared for germs. Maybe we should just approach it like the Asian people that we see who wear them all the time, who are ahead of the curve on this. There's more of them than anybody. Instead of blaming them for the pandemic, why don't we give them credit for the solution in day-to-day life? We could all be healthier if we just wear the masks occasionally, and I think now we're all comfortable with it. This has been an advertisement for masks, just generally speaking. Eric Griffin is on the show today. Eric Griffin, the comedian. I've seen him around a long time. We didn't start together. I don't think I was particularly nice to him necessarily. I don't think I noticed him that much. We talk about that a little bit. He's always at the store now, and he was on Workaholics. He was on I'm Dying Up Here, and he hosts his own podcast, Riffin' with Griffin, Eric Griffin. I don't know why I never acknowledged Eric. I think he's a big boy. You know, he's got a big mustache. He's really the most Jewish looking black guy I know. But for some reason in my mind, just as an old timer at this point, I think I know everybody. And like, I see this guy around, I'm like, I don't know that guy. Is he a thing? I don't know what it was. I made the wrong assumption about him. He's a very funny guy. And it was nice to have him here. Okay. Business. My business. There's a new batch of ceramic WTF cap mugs from Brian Jones. These go very quickly. I'm not sure which ones he has. He's kind of changed up the design a bit, but he makes them all by hand and they are unique. I give them to my guests. That was the original intent of them. I actually just gave one to Quentin Tarantino, who was very excited. I mean, very excited. He's an excitable guy anyways. He's excited, but he was very excited to get the mug. And aside from that, getting these mugs from Brian Jones is the only way you can get them. So you can go to, brianrjones.com/shop to get your mug now. And he's donating part of the profits from the mugs to the Connecticut Food Bank. Also, it's happening. It's happening for me. Like I've gotten into a zone with the comedy. It's a bit of an angry zone. It's intense. I'm carving out new space for myself up there. I feel it. I've realized something about me. Back in the day when I used to be angry, it was coming completely out of insecurity and panic and just a fury about my place in the world. And now it's different. It's grounded in humility and confidence. So it's a new, more exciting, less scary anger. Maybe that'll be a blurb for my new show. New, more exciting, less scary anger. Funny even. Look, he smiles in the middle of the tirade. Yeah, that could either be looked at as sociopathic. In my case, it's a little charm. It's a little medicine. It's a little sugar to help the medicine go down. But the shows are going good. And I know that I'm ready to do the Dynasty Typewriter shows, which are going to be longer sets because I'm craving more time. Like, eventually I'm like, I need more time. I got to stop running the light. I got to stop pissing off whoever's after me by doing 19 instead of 15. So I'm ready. And those Dynasty Typewriters shows that July 1st, July 8th, July 15th, July 22nd, you can go to dynastytypewriter.com. No, don't. They're sold out. I'm sorry. What does that mean? They're sold out. But here are these other ones coming up, which will be crapshoots, all of them. That's, yeah, maybe I'll call the tour that, the crapshoot tour. The maybe he'll pull it off tour. The I don't know what's going to happen after the plague tour. The I think I got an hour tour. I think I have the time. That's it. The I think I have the time tour will be in Denver at the Comedy Works, August 5 through 7. Phoenix, one night only, August 12th at Stand Up Live. Salt Lake City at Wise Guys, August 19th through 21st. St. Louis, Missouri, if something weird doesn't happen in that state. If something, anything weirder. I don't know why I go to Missouri. I don't know. Missouri is, it's almost like a theocracy. It's like a some sort of white supremacist theocracy. That's going to get some emails. But I'll be at Helium in St. Louis for all you people that like me in St. Louis, September 16th through 18th. And, you know, I've got this weird issue with this. It happens with Texas now, too. You can go to the websites of those venues, by the way, to get the tickets, or you can click on the tour button at WTFpod.com. I know that people get offended when I make fun of their state, or I trivialize it, or I condescend. But you know what? If your state sucks, fix it. Because I know the argument is like, hey, don't judge Arkansas. There's a lot of good people. Not enough. There's clearly not enough good people. If there were enough good people, they'd fix their fucking state. Hey, you know, Oklahoma is really, nah, it's not. There's good people. I get it, but not enough. So either leave or fix it. What am I supposed to do? Missouri, but, you know, there's a lot of us here like, I get it. You're good people, but your state stinks because of your state government. So fix it. Fix your states. Texas, fix it. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'll go there and stuff, but only if I have to. Well, we don't want you here. Okay. No problem. No problem. All right. Couple of things. Next week, Quentin Tarantino. I talked to Quentin Tarantino. It was very exciting. And he said some exciting things that I found very flattering, which I didn't expect. I never expect. We had a very engaged conversation, very personal conversation, focused a lot on, he's got a book out, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a novel. And it's great. I fucking read it. Like, and I don't know why I'm so proud of myself. I read a whole book from the beginning to the end. I read it, and I'd seen the movie. Cause you don't always read whole books, do you? I mean, I'm a reader, but I'll read, you know, most of something. Sometimes I'll read novels and I'll stop it like with 10 pages. Cause I'm weird. I'm like, I don't know if I don't want it to end or I don't know what it is, but I read the whole book and that excited him. So we had a good conversation. That's going to be next week. Big, double director week next week. We got Steven Soderbergh, Quentin Tarantino. Also, I'm going to say this like I'm promoting. I'm not. I bought a vacuum sealer for food. And I don't know if you know what fun is, but I do. It's a vacuum sealer for food. Because then I could cook a thing, like a smoked fish thing, and I'll just seal it. I'll seal it up. And then it'll last another week or so. And that just the fun of seeing the seal like crinkle up. And then you're just sort of like, look what I did. I saved this food. This food's going to be better now. I bought a steak and put it in the freezer. I sealed it up and it's like, you see it crinkle up and you're like, that's so cool. What am I, 7? Am I 8? What am I, 12? 12's too old. What am I, 6? Vacuum sealer. What am I, 9? Okay, so maybe this is going to be a good year for me. Whatever's left of it, you know. Primarily, not because I'm feeling better or not. You know, obviously, the plague was hard for everybody. I've been through some sadness, but maybe like I'm pitching a show with Sam Lipsyte, a show that I've had in my head for many years, and we fleshed it out, and now we're trying to sell it to an outlet. Maybe something will happen. And the reason I'm saying that is I don't know when this bird did this, but a bird built a nest literally in the point of my roof. The point of the roof where it goes up, the top of the angle is right over the steps onto my porch into my house. There's a nest right up in there, right up in the point that is filled with baby birds now. And there is shit, bird shit, all over the front, right in the center of the steps going into my house. I have to spray it off like 3 or 4 times a day. There's so much bird shit. And now I'm not a monster. I'm not going to remove the nest. They'll be gone eventually, right? That's where that comes from, right? They leave the nest, right? But the reason why I think this has significance in my life is that if you believe the old wise tale or whatever it is, the adage that if a bird shits on you, it's good luck. So given that, my odds are very good. Like I could probably have, if I timed it right, I could have good luck every day. I could be covered in shit, in bird shit, 2 or 3 times a day if I just wait for it. But I'm not going to do that because I think that would be cheating and it probably wouldn't count. But I'm just saying that this might be a good year for me because the odds of me getting shit on by birds, very high right now, very high. So I'll let you know if that happens. Eric Griffin, I enjoy talking to him. His podcast is Riffin' with Griffin. And this is like, you know, your standard WTF comic style. This is me and Eric talking.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
I need comfortable shoes now.
You do?
Yeah, they have to be comfortable. I like New Balance, you know, Adidas. They gotta be comfortable. My feet will start hurting, man.
My feet are fucked up.
Yeah, I can't. We
My
don't
toes
even know.
Are fucked up.
You know, it's like when we're on stage, we're numb. Yeah. Like you don't have to go to the bathroom. You're not feeling your sinuses.
Apparently, I need to drink a lot of water. I got to bring my water up there. I can't get through 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, at that
no,
point
I can.
Right now?
No, I can. But like, I always bring the club soda. I just have it. And I set it on stage and I leave it there. I don't drink it sometimes.
Dude, I was in the main room last week at the Comedy Store, and I was in the green room.
Yeah.
Yip yapping with whoever was
yeah.
there, and I needed to go to the bathroom.
Oh, you had to decide.
And I didn't. And I was on stage, and bro, this is the first time. The first time I was like, I'm going to pee myself on stage.
Really? You had to go that bad?
I had to go that bad. Wow. And so I'm doing my act now. I'm pacing back and forth and trying to and I was
pee.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, this is a sign of like getting older.
Yeah.
You know, because like your body locks up when you're younger.
I always have to pee like right before I'm like the next guy up. You know, like last night it happened. And I'm wearing khakis. So I'm like, this is a double.
Uh-oh.
This is risky.
So that little bit of pee comes out when you're over 40.
So Maz is on. Maz is on. And like he's like at 13 minutes. I'm like, I gotta fucking do it.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah, and I'm back there in that room in the main room, and I'm like I'm hoping it doesn't happen. Timed out all right though. So I gotta admit, I enjoyed the text exchange yesterday. It was very exciting. I want to ask you a couple questions.
I felt so it was a whole thing with my chest.
I just want to ask you one question. Uh-huh. All right, so there was a nice jump in in logic. You're like, man, I'm running so late. I'm sorry, traffic.
Really,
is terrible.
You're gonna do that? Traffic was bad.
No, okay. All right, uh-huh. Really, I'm gonna do this. Like, no, this was.
But I wasn't in the car yet.
That was my question. That was my question.
No, no.
Because like, then I go, okay, when do you think you'll get here? And then all of a sudden, sorry, my girl's driving me crazy. So I'm like, oh, he's not in the car.
No, what I meant to say was I had checked the map came up and it said it's going to take 45 minutes to get there. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And I was already running late.
Yeah.
And then I'm dealing with stuff with her. And then I was like, oh no, this is a nightmare. You know what I mean? I hate being that guy, and so but I'm glad you were flexible, and I appreciate it.
And then, you know, it looks like you just, like, ass-dialed me at some point. Like, there's, like...
No, because when I go into my garage, I lose service.
But there's a text here that's just GPS SYZ 1244.
Oh, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I know. I don't either.
I don't know. Wow, that's weird. Like, it's just one of those things, man. You know, you'd like to be dependable. Yeah. Like, you want to be dependable,
right?
You know, so when people say, "Hey, come here at a certain time," you're there.
Well, how much drama are you dealing with?
No, it was just like some like not having the alarm set right, right. I was supposed to do something for her that I didn't do, and I said I was going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just one of those things, and I'm like, and then you feel like everything you're doing is the most important thing in the world.
Yeah,
you know, but when you have a partner, it's like they think that too.
Yeah. And they're waiting,
and they're what I mean? So it's just like one of those things.
I asked you to do something.
You know, you just get to an age, man, where I'm at this point now. Where it's
how old are you?
I'm almost 50, man. 50's coming up.
Yeah.
So.
What are you thinking?
Nothing, actually. I'm just kind of like,
health
wow.
Health is good?
I'm working on my health now.
Oh.
Like, just to make sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. My mom has dementia.
Does she?
Yeah. So when that happened, it really made me go, okay, what are some of the causes of this? And I started to look these things up, and
with
it's like high cholesterol, inflammation, and all these kinds of things. So I went to like Next Health. One
high
of these,
cholesterol,
like,
huh?
I went to Next Health. Yeah, high cholesterol is one of them.
What if it's genetic?
You know, it's iffy on the science on if that's something that is,
yeah,
you know, genetic. I don't know. Some people say it is, and sometimes I've read so many things because now I'm concerned about it.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
So
what did you find out? Did you go to the doc?
I went to one of these, like, preventative medicine places.
Oh.
To, like, get a blood test, get a baseline test, find out what my vitamin... So I found out my vitamin D levels are low, my B12 is low, my cholesterol was rising. You know, diabetes is around the corner if I don't work on my blood sugar.
Really?
So I found out all these things about myself, and I was like, oh, you know what? I got to take care of this.
Yeah.
And then I'm engaged, okay? And she wants to have kids. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, I'm going to be an old dad.
Yeah.
So let me make sure that I'm okay.
Yeah.
So now all these things kind of just flooded into my head. And I said, you know what? I got to work on my health.
Yeah.
I got to take care of myself. So I started doing it. I'm down 40 pounds. Body fat is down.
Yeah.
And I'm just working on making sure these numbers stay level. And it's just about, you know, it's like you don't know you need to take care of yourself until you need to take care of yourself.
Well, you kind of know, but you're like, fuck it.
But when you're young, you're in your 30s.
I know, but even now, though, like, you know I got to take care of myself. I've been on a sugar detox for 3 weeks now.
Right.
I go up and down. My cholesterol is always a little, it's not high, but it's borderline by no matter what I fucking eat.
Yeah.
My blood pressure's fine. You know, I've had sort of like borderline blood sugar before, but usually it's because I'm eating pineapple every day or something.
Whatever.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, you know, I know I got to watch it, but, like, you start eating cake one day, you're in for, you could be done, it could be weeks before you get out of the cake hole.
Dude, I remember I was doing this movie in Boston, and
movie sets are the worst because they're all eating dessert every meal.
Well, they had us up at this, like, fancy hotel. So in the room, they had a mini bar.
In Boston.
In Boston.
Yeah.
And they had a mini bar, and there was, like, they had Oreos in there.
Yeah.
Four Oreos.
In the package.
I think I spent, at the 3 weeks I was there.
Yeah.
Like $150 on Oreos. Okay. Now I tell the other.
Wait, did you get a per diem?
Yeah. But okay. I spent the whole. The place was so expensive. The per diem. I got room service the first night.
Yeah.
Hamburger, iced tea.
Yeah.
$60.
Sure, of course.
The per diem was $60. I was like, I can't survive on this.
Yeah.
So I spent $150 on Oreos, and I tell the other actors, we're in the van headed to set, and they're like, Eric, there's a CVS down the street. Just go buy Oreos.
Yeah.
I said, listen. If I go buy those Oreos, I'm going to eat all of those
Oreos. The whole package. Yeah.
But now I'm just eating four.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I'm actually looking out for myself.
Yeah.
But which goes to show it costs money to be healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do go down the rabbit hole, too, in terms of sweets. It's like I can't have it. That's why I don't even want it in my place.
But, dude, I just got talking to the influencer thing, I just got a DM from Jenny's Ice Cream. Best fucking ice cream in the world.
Ugh.
Like, and, you know, some people, Pat and Oswald set me up on it, like a quarterly delivery, you know, when I was, you know, during the last year because I was sad. And but they started, I started taking pictures of it because I was getting mad. Not at Patton or anything else, just at having ice cream in my house that I had no control over. So it would come and I'd do an Instagram of it and I'd be like, fuck this. What the fuck is this about?
I just got sent yogurt. This company
seems better.
Yeah, but it's still sugary. It's like,
and it's full of dairy too.
They sent me like a box full of like, you know, mint chocolate chip,
yogurt, frozen yogurt,
on sticks, and it's like
sticks.
Delicious stuff. My fridge is full of it. It's delicious. You know, so now I'm sitting here like, I hate even knowing it's there.
Yeah, I know.
I have no self-control.
And then you just plow through it.
Yeah, you have an impulse control problem when it comes to like, you know, this kind of thing.
Everything, if it's right there.
I think it's a comic thing, too.
But I think it's like, it's a certain type of human thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
everyone's sort of like, hey, do you think like, you know, there's more comic alcoholics? I'm like, no.
No, yeah.
It's plenty of, you know, plumber alcoholics.
Yeah, it's all about moderation, and we have an issue with it.
Yeah, it's just maybe, you know, more compulsive people are attracted to comedy, but I don't think proportionately there's more compulsive idiots.
But there is a compulsory element to saying the same thing over and over again.
Well,
at the same energy, at the same level.
Hey, Eric, if you need to write some shit, you know.
Hey, we all can't sit on a stool and have whatever's going on in the world just come to our head. But you got to act too. Don't sit here and act like,
I know.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like, but that's the beauty of actually being a comic is being able to bitch about things at the same level every single night. Like, but there's something magical about that.
Yeah, sometimes things wear out though, you know. You know what I mean? But for me, I always try to find one little thing different.
Yeah, yeah,
of course. And now we're working on new shit. So, you know, if something pops in, little thing.
Yeah.
Then you just sort of like, I got to remember that.
But then it becomes a compulsory thing, too. You're like, oh, I got to do that again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, let's say that again.
I guess so. I never thought about it that way. Because most people talk about, like, the laugh is addictive. It's like, hasn't been for me in a long time. Like, for me, the more addictive part is, like, when something new happens.
Boom.
You know
or, I mean? Or it's something like you have this idea and it's connecting.
Yes,
and
right.
The laughter is just a result of them.
Well, you know, it's
agreeing
happening
with you,
right? You know it's happening, but the thrill is like it's the new thing.
Yeah,
it's not just the laugh. Like you know, like that is the difference between just going up there and doing the same thing over and over again, and you know it works, and that's enough. Is not the same as like going up there and getting that new laugh.
Yeah, let me try this.
I got a new laugh last night. I opened with a new cup.
Like to break it up too. Like, like sometimes I like to go like, this is what I close with.
Yeah.
And I'll go, I'm going to start with that.
Yeah, and see if I can follow
myself. See if I can follow this like, thing. I think it's okay to do that.
And you can do that at the Comedy Store. You only got 15 minutes.
Right.
It's so funny sometimes when I'm at the Comedy Store and I'm like, these people have 15 minutes and they're choosing to talk about this. You know, like how do you get like, you know, my dick, you know, 7 minutes in? How do you like... Is it like, out of all
listen to the comedy sheriff over here.
No. But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you mean.
I mean, I've talked about my dick plenty, but it's like, it's interesting how people will craft a 13 minutes. No, there's no purpose, but it's like, you got 13 minutes and you never look at it like that. Like, okay, so I've got this 12 to 15 minute thing where I get to say whatever I want. And the party is like, that's what I chose? That's
what. You know what? You know when I felt like that is when I was working on. We're taping. I'm Dying up here.
Yeah.
And I got to do a Showtime special.
Yeah.
And but they wouldn't let me go on the road.
What?
Yeah. They wouldn't let me like.
Oh, you mean go work it out?
Go work it out like out of town.
Yeah.
So I had to do everything in town, and I was doing these sets, and it was like I really realized you can really take advantage of these 15-minute sets at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, if you break it up.
If you break it up and you're working on a thing. So it was like, I felt like, oh, man, I'm really working on this. And so then I felt like that when you see people and you go, why are you doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why aren't you taking this time of all the times? Or it's like, remember when you were doing different club shows and, like, a local opener? You might want to say to them, like, you got 10 minutes, man. Why are you...
Keep doing it. Yeah.
Like, why are you work on some shit?
Yeah.
They're not here to see you anyway.
Yeah.
So it don't even matter, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And it's hard, though. You get stuck at the store because it's like you do want to do well. So if you're going to go up there like, I'm not going to do that 15 minutes. I'm going to do this whole other chunk. And then you're sort of like, I'm scared.
Well, you know what's funny?
What?
Now we're back to it being a workout room.
And it's the best. I know.
Because
I've been
for the last 5 years, it was just like, oh,
shit,
this is
show.
A fucking show. I got to do my A material because I got to go up after, here's Rogan, here's Marin, here's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it's the truth, man. You know, it's like, you know, all the people, that lineup was like a show and people were there for like on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's nice now, man. There's all these people I've never seen before
because
they're sort of in the shadows.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like people are like, can we come out now?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man.
It's a nice little, like, let me work on my material room again.
I love it. I love it. It's so good. Now, you were telling me, like, now, what, do you have a problem with me? Are we all right?
Oh, yeah, we're good. Okay. What are you talking about? No, you're just right. You know what's funny? this is actually hilarious because my first time, I had a first Showtime special. Yeah. I don't know, maybe my representation or somebody hit you up and asked me to be on the podcast, right. And you said no. You were like, I don't know that guy or whatever.
Well, that's probably what I said.
No, but it's fine. No, that was... And it cut to, I always tell people, you have to wait for things in the business.
Yeah.
You can't always, cut to, like, you just walk up to me, hey, man, I want you to be on a podcast. Give me your number.
Yeah.
And you just go, all right, I waited for that, and here it is. You know what I mean?
I don't know why. I just didn't know you. But it doesn't matter because there's plenty of people I don't know. So I was trying to figure out, like, well, why did I do that to Eric?
Because
some part of my dumb brain where it's sort of like I've been doing this forever, right?
Yeah.
So there's still some part of my brain that's like, I know all the guys. And in my mind, it's sort of like, I don't know that guy. I've never seen him before.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't see you around that much.
You know what it is? It's like we hang with our peers. We hang with certain groups of people.
Also, I go in and out. I'm old. I don't hang around.
It is what it is.
No, I know.
You know, I don't take offense. I just always.
But you said like the other night that like I would literally not acknowledge you.
Oh, you did do that. You walked out of the OR. Here I am standing there with like Neil Brennan, like Whitney Cummings. It was like these types of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you walked up and you were like, "Hey, how you doing?" Shook that person's hand. How you doing? And literally nothing for me. And I was like, "Okay, nothing." I even said that. You walked away, and I went to everybody, nothing, huh? I'm not even here?
Sorry, buddy. I don't know what the hell
is that. You know what? But there's a certain
I don't
like
to be that guy, but
hazing.
I know I'm that guy.
You're that guy, though.
No, but I don't notice it. It's just me being selfish. It's rude, and I'm not acknowledging. I have to be aware of that stuff. It's like, again, I'm sort of like, oh, there's that guy that I've never seen really work in. Okay.
Or another thing we do, too. You know what? So another thing that we realize, we don't really watch each other.
I do.
No, but.
Okay. In general. I don't make a point of it, but
you
like
don't make
a lot of times.
Sometimes you might, if you're going up next, you might be sitting
there
watching.
Or if I'm there half hour earlier.
But a lot of times, even if we know each other, there's a lot of people that you hang out with at the Comedy Store and talk to that you are not sure if they're funny or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not sure.
No, I know. And sometimes I watch them and I'm not sure. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they seem to be doing the job, but I don't know how it's working.
Or it's not your cup of tea.
I guess.
I'm honest. I could say that right out. There's many people at the Comedy Store that I watched their set and I go, this ain't for me.
Yeah, well, I think you.
And I think that's okay.
I believe you've gotten better. I think you're doing your best work now.
Well,
I think you've gotten more angry. Is that right?
I just think I'm more in touch with who I am. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes I'm angry about that, but that's my brand.
Is it? You got a brand?
I bitch about things and
I
bring things up and then people are like, oh, they like that about me. I knew this from before. I used to coach basketball and I would be like yelling at the kids because what they're doing. I'd be like, what are you doing? But the way I was doing it, the crowd is laughing. Like I'm putting on a show.
Really?
It was one of the first times I realized I actually should be a comic.
So wait, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in L.A.
Where?
Like mid-Wilshire area.
Really?
Yeah. So, I'm from L.A. Are you from L.A.?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I grew up in New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
I was born in New Jersey. No, I'm tied in with the East Coast.
Okay. I'm a West Coast guy.
Yeah. And what? So both your folks are from here?
I'm my only child, single parent my whole life. Yeah, never met my dad before.
What happened? Where'd he go?
It's just one of those things.
Did you ask your mom?
I you know what? I asked her about it when I was in my teens.
Yeah.
And she got like really.
Yeah.
There was something, and I was like, oh, like women got secrets. Yeah. They got their secrets.
Right.
And I'm because I'm a comic, I'm analytical.
But it seems like you're entitled to know a little bit about that one.
I asked. But it was like one of these things where, I raised you.
Yeah, right. But you don't want him to have no credit.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I go, that's fine. And maybe, because even if my father has been trying to reach out to me and my mom stopped it, she has her reasons. I don't have any resentment towards that.
Right.
But I myself thought about it and I was like, well, do I want to find out? She told me his name.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I said, I took that information and 2 or 3 weeks later, I completely forgot about it. And it let me know it didn't matter.
Right.
It'd be one thing if you knew your dad up to 7 years old and he vanished. But I've never had a dad in my life. So it wasn't something that I felt like I was missing until I was like around other people. And
right.
I'd be
so
like,
there's, you don't think that, you forgot about it out of like, there was no fuck that guy at all?
No.
Mm.
No, there wasn't really. I always felt like there was a story here that I wasn't privy to.
Yeah.
I wasn't a part of.
He's a Jewish guy.
Just
he's probably a Jewish guy. I swear, you're like the most Jewish-looking black guy I know.
There's so many mix. The mix is like, who knows? But, you know, like I say, I didn't. And then now my mom has dementia.
Oh.
So now I'm not going to really get any real
it's
information.
Lost. It's lost.
It's gone.
Yeah,
you know what
like
I mean?
It's like the locket that she threw off the Titanic.
Exactly. That sucker's in the ocean. Or maybe she kept it and I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just like a, you know, I don't know. I mean, some people... It's a big deal to them, and I understand that need or whatever it is, and I can understand the feeling of being like, as a man, why didn't you want to find out? But from what I understand now is that, you know, he probably had a family. I was an affair baby.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
So he probably has like, you
maybe.
Know,
interesting.
I probably have brothers and sisters that, you know, don't know. And maybe
that's the more curious thing to me. Yeah, I'd be curious about.
That's what you know why I wanted to know?
Yeah.
I wanted to know, what do you got cancer?
Yeah.
Is there things I should be worried about?
Sure, sure.
Those are the kind of things that I'm thinking about, like having a relationship.
What's my
genealogy?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? All that stuff.
Because I know, like, there's a lot of people that, like, that are adopted and stuff. They're not going to do it. You know, why? Why go find them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're my parents. That's enough.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or, but it just depends on whatever feeling of rejection you might feel, or you know, no matter what. I mean,
why did you throw me away?
Right, these are natural feelings.
Sure. What'd your mom do?
Well, my mom, she like did a bunch of things. She was like a medical transcriber when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Imagine they don't even do that anymore.
Yeah. Know? What is that?
That would be like the doctor would be talking into a
thing. Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
She
the
would
dictaphone.
Yeah. So she was doing that. And then she became a health and safety specialist because people were suing. Companies, they were getting those like workers' compensation claims.
Sure, yeah,
So they had to form a new profession of like a safety specialist to be on like at locations to make sure to cut down on these lawsuits.
Right,
like, let's
right,
make
right,
sure there's
right.
fire extinguishers. Let's
right.
make sure that they'll, you know. So she became that until she retired.
Oh, wow. So how old is she?
My mom's 78.
And she's
79.
Man, it's so, my dad's getting old too.
Yeah, it's tough though.
It
That's
is
tough.
My dad's starting that sort of dementia thing, I think.
It's a really...
Something's going on.
It's a really tough... And I knew, we knew, my stepfather and I knew for a while.
Oh,
like,
so you got a stepfather?
Yeah, I got my stepdad, yeah. They got married when I was like 19.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they've been together for a long time. He's a great salt of the earth. Love
yeah.
him. You know, and he's
yeah.
taking care of my mom right now, so yeah. it's like, in my mind, I know whatever happens, I'm going to make sure he's okay too. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the hell yeah. I mean, both my parents have got people, and I'm like, hang in there.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying, dude. I'm like, please don't have it. I call him to be like, how are you doing?
Exactly.
You know
are
what I mean?
Okay?
Yeah, I'm always telling him like, yo, dude, stop eating those cookies because you got to take care of my mom. So I'm going to stop fucking around and get your health in gear, you know?
Oh,
so
hilarious.
It's yeah. like, it's that kind of thing. So like I say, dementia is a tough one because of how it affects loved ones.
Yeah, and I've been doing this bit about it and it's not landing that well.
I do a whole thing about it. That's how I deal with things. I talk about my mom's dementia.
What's
on
your
stage.
Angle?
Well, I just talk about like how like... I didn't know at first that you're not supposed to argue or try to reason with them.
Oh.
So I was having knockout fights with my mom because my mom thinks her grandmother's alive.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm having a conversation with her. I'm like, Mom, you're 78.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your grandma would be 135 years old.
How's
that? And she's like, well, she's doing good, you know? So I just talk about it. And I find that when I talk about it, I really enjoy when people come up to me afterwards and they go like, hey, man, I'm dealing with that too, and I've never laughed about it. And thank you.
Oh, that's nice. Because
yeah.
I'm like, I just started talking about it, in that I said I like to like I'm seeing this as my father's beginning the Alzheimer's journey. I don't want to give it a negative spin because to be honest with you, like it's just
a countdown.
It's just the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. And now, like, he still knows me. He still knows what's up. He's having a little hard time following through, but you know, he used to be kind of a difficult dude and kind of an asshole and never shut up. He had an edge to him, and
oh,
now he's
well,
a,
that explains.
Yeah, yeah. And now, like, you know, he's all soft and nice and listening. I'm like, make sure you take time to appreciate the sweet spot of dementia,
yeah,
right at the beginning.
Yeah,
and it's not really landing that good. And then I say, like, and I know in a couple months he probably won't know who he is, and then I'll be truly free.
Oh, that's dark. Yeah, I see why that's
not landing good.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's, I, you know, It hits differently for different people. Man. It's not all.
Well, yeah, you're kind of like, you know, approaching it with some empathy, and it's kind of funny and frustrating, but your mom's got the good tag.
Yeah. It is really frustrating, though. It is a frustrating thing because, like, you know, I just think.
Still know you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like that yet, but it could. Dementia turns into Alzheimer's, and then there's a countdown to them. Their brain just deteriorating.
Right.
The thing that was hard was we took her to the doctor for the first time.
Yeah.
Because they moved to Spain for like 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, they moved. She wanted to go to Spain.
Why?
They just wanted to do it. They retired. You know.
Why Spain of all places?
Spain is actually a great cost of living in Spain. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it's like beautiful. And then you could get places. Mm. If you want to travel, you're in Spain, you can get to Germany.
Right.
Get to, like, you know.
Europe.
But she was, every time I would visit, I could tell she was repeating herself a lot. She was like, and then, you know, last time I saw her when I really felt like she was more herself, she was like talking about things that I was like, oh, she doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
She said to me too, I'm depressed because I'm confused.
Yeah.
So I knew she knew something was up. And then what happened was she went for a walk and fell down.
Yeah.
And it fast tracked it.
Yeah, my dad's terrified of falling down.
Well, that's what happened. When my mom, she fell down. She was out of some place where she wasn't supposed to be. Luckily, the people are very nice. They helped her.
Yeah.
And then it was like my stepdad called me, we got to come home. You know?
Yeah.
So then when we came, so now she's here in the States, and then we go to the doctor. And I say that she's sitting there, and I go, how do we talk about this?
You know,
he goes, listen, we got to just talk about it. So I say, okay, well, my mom thinks her grandmother's alive. And then my mom was like, what are you talking about? So they did this cognitive test, and it was hard to watch. Because it was like, that's when you really saw that there's something
simple
up.
Shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was like, you know, draw a clock.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And make the time 11:45.
Oh, really?
You know, so she it was funny. She drew the clock.
Yeah.
And she wrote 11:45. And I was like, well, you know,
it's close.
That's a digital clock. I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, and it was like, say as many animals that start with the letter F. Or like, what does a train and a bike have in common? Like, those type of things. And then I saw it for the first time, where I was like, oh, man. Because her personality is
It's so funny.
Every
one of those that you just asked, I'm like, okay, I can still do that.
yeah, I know. Bro, I'm sitting in there doing the same thing. I'm like, okay, well, these are kind of hard. I'm like, let me see, make sure I can. What's the right answer? So... And it was tough to see. It was tough to, like, really witness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to figure out how to be a little more sympathetic in my approach.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't spend time with him? You know, he's in Albuquerque, and I'm going to go back. Got my brother going out there. Because you want to sort of get the time in before, you know, they go away.
But it's hard. You know what the thing, though, is? Mm-hmm. If I'm being, like, 100 about it.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to spend time with my mom because my mom's not there anymore. Like, this is not my, it's a different person. So you're holding on to your memories, and you're like, you know, it's that good, you know, it's like, that is a feeling I'm trying to fight. So when I see her, I'm just trying to just be like.
Yeah, I just, like, it's weird. My dad was always kind of spacey, you know, he's kind of like out of it a lot, you know, like daydreaming or whatever up in his head. Now it's just like, it seems to be a little longer.
Well, this is even different because with my mom, it's so specific. Like, she thinks, so we have them at this, like, retirement place.
Oh, that's good.
But she thinks that at night she goes home to her grandmother's house.
Oh, wow.
So I'll talk to her, and she'll be like, yeah, we're going to be going home in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, man.
Sorry.
And she doesn't realize, like, she thinks her grandmother's house.
Yeah.
So I remember, I talk about this on stage, too. This is one of the things I talk about. I go, I didn't know what to do because she thinks her grandmother's house is
Did you know her grandmother, your grandmother?
I met her when I was 9,
yeah.
And I went to her funeral.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Terrible woman, too, which is why I don't understand why my mom was fixated on this.
Yeah.
Every story she told me was about how her grandmother was a tyrant, you know, so it's really strange.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was she, the grandmother?
In Belize.
Oh, that's where your mom's from.
Yeah. Belize. So this is what I'm trying to say, too.
Yeah.
So I tell my mom, you know, she's like, grandma's house is down the street. So I open up Google Maps.
Yeah.
They're in Oxnard.
Yeah.
Then I put grandma's address in Belize.
Yeah.
And I show it to my mom.
Yeah.
The line is going down Mexico, down through Central America. And she looks at it and she just laughs at me.
Yeah.
She, like, I'm crazy. She's laughing at me like I'm crazy. Grandma's house is down the street. And what are you showing me? You don't go to Mexico to go to grandma's house.
Uh-huh.
So it's the kind of thing that, like, when you're a logical person, or you think you are,
yeah.
And I think that's a man thing, too. Like, we really want everything's got to be logical and make sense and analytical. You know what I mean? It's hard to deal with, like, this thing that is, like, completely fantasy world. It's like fantasy world.
But it's also terrifying to realize that, like, the only thing that makes us anything is our fucking brain. And, like,
Bro.
You know. And once that goes even a little bit, you're fucked.
That's the thought process I went through, and that's why I'm working on my health not now.
It's like you're one head injury away from, like, you know, not knowing what...
Not knowing who you are, where you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. My mom hits me, and she's like... And she thinks she walks, too. She thinks, I walk to grandma. I'm tired of walking. Eric, I need you to get me a bike. Like, oh, bitch, you're not going to get a bike. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so infuriating to deal with it, you know? She wants a bike. She'll be 80 years old on a bike, driving around Oxnard.
And she can't walk.
And she, you know what I mean? And she can't. She's like, I don't want to walk anymore. There's no buses over here. Like, all these things. It's a whole world that she's created.
Well, at least she's still active in her head.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's great. In her mind, her grandmother's still alive and she has a whole life with her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, because she would say to me, oh, my grandma was asking about you. That's what she says to me. Oh, grandma was asking about you. How's that little, little stinker? You know, I just go... All right.
Wow, what do we know about the afterlife? Maybe she's really tapped in.
You know
what?
And there's no, like, you can't reason. And it was the hardest thing to really accept.
Yeah.
Because I said to my mom one day in the beginning, I was like, all right, so, oh, grandma, huh? I was like, well, how old's your grandma?
Yeah.
You know? And she was like, oh, she's in her late 80s.
Yeah.
You know? I said, oh, she's in her late 80s. I was like, oh, okay, well, how old are you, huh? How old are you? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I was like.
Yeah, trying to...
Like, I was like, well, how old is your mom?
Yeah,
you're like, trying to get... Like, how old is your mom? Do you think there's a... Because, Ma, you're 30 years older than me.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to explain. I said, you're 30 years older than me.
Yeah.
How much older is your grandma from you?
Now it's a story problem.
Yeah. Now it's like, she's like, I don't know. Then she gets mad.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was making her uncomfortable.
Right.
So I was like, I had to stop doing that.
Because they still got their pride, right?
Oh, stubbornness, hell.
Yeah.
Imagine that. You add stubbornness. And the other thing that was tough was, like, my mom was on social media. So another thing I talk about is, like, you know, dementia on social media is not good.
No.
My mom's reliving old beefs.
On Facebook?
On Facebook. Oh. She's reliving them on Facebook.
Like, with real people.
She's talking, she's talking about a woman that when she retired 30 years ago, she hated.
Yeah.
And she's talking shit about her on Facebook and being racist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have to tell my mom, I'm like, Mom, you can't write this on the internet.
What?
You can't write this.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can do whatever I want. So I went into her page and I made all her preferences private.
Yeah, so she don't know that.
She don't even know. So she's writing everything. Now I just egg her on. She writes something and I go, oh, tell her off, Mom. You know, so.
Oh, boy.
And I deal with things where, like, I take whatever pain and anguish and all the things that are going on in my life and I take it, I just go right to the stage with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to. I mean, that's what we do, you know. And I think it does generally help people.
I think it does too. Yeah. I really think it does.
So, do you have family in Belize?
No.
I have no
idea.
I have no idea what Belize is.
Belize is like.
Have you been there?
Yes, many times. But Belize is like Jamaica. They actually have the similar accents.
Oh, okay.
It was both of them were slave ports.
Okay.
So you have a lot of, like, you know. Latin, black, and straight Latino, because Honduras is right there and all this thing. So it's like a very hodgepodge of people.
Yeah.
And then Belize got their independence in, like, the 70s from England. It was English.
What kind of food?
It's the same kind of, like, Caribbean food.
Oh, yeah?
It's Caribbean food. You know, so it'd be rice beans, oxtails, plantains. It's kind of food. So it's very similar to Jamaica. So I have family from Jamaica. Roots, and then it's like there's Spanish roots. There's, like, so I have all these different types of things, and then, like, you know, I don't really know exactly my father's origin. My mom used to say, like, oh, like, you know, Eastern European, you know what I mean? But I don't know.
He's a Jew. I'm telling
who
you.
Who knows?
Eastern European, dude.
I don't want to get to 23andMe because it's like, I just don't want to know.
Oh, you got to do that at least.
I don't want to know.
Well, they're not going to give you a name.
I know, but it's like, who would want to know? Like,
I did mine. I'm like, it just came back Jew.
With a hate letter.
Another one.
Yeah.
That's what it said at the top. Another Jew.
So, you know.
You got to do that one. Come on,
maybe. My friend gave. I'm really not curious.
Come on, you are so.
I am not.
It's not going to give you a name, but to give you the breakdown. Even if it was just your mom, you'd want to know, right?
Maybe.
I mean, what's there?
Maybe I'll do it and I'll make a whole thing out of it for my podcast. Riffing with Griffin.
That was called?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah. It's no WTF.
Well,
you know?
I mean, how often
Obama's not coming on. You know what I mean?
he might. Have you asked? He's in a different place now.
Was that like the height of doing the podcast for you? Was that a moment where you were like, "This is
what was a moment for
the most like
it's just a moment like, for everybody."
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was sort of like, "What?"
Yeah, that's true. You're right. We all lived it with you, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I thought that's funny you say that because I thought that myself too. I was thinking to myself, "How the fuck did he get the president?" I was like, man, he's
were
so
all
crotchety.
That.
How did he?
We were all thinking that.
Yeah.
Even the president.
But it's like, you know, I think it is what it is. You know, you have whatever your audience is, you know, you just do it for them.
Yeah.
And you keep doing it big or small, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. So your mom's from Belize, but so your dad, did that happen in Belize?
No. Oh, it was when she was in the States.
How'd she get here? Why'd she come here? Her parents?
I think it was she just wanted a better life, you know.
But did she come with her folks?
No. Oh, really? She left. Yeah, my mom overcompensated for her bad childhood by making sure I was spoiled when I was coming
up.
That's how she dealt with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she had like a bad story with her, like, you know, father not wanting her and a crazy mother and, you know, it was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She wanted a better life for herself and then a tyrant aunt and her grandmother was bad.
Yeah.
So it was like she went to England to become a nurse to escape.
Uh-huh.
And then while in England, she figured out how to come to the United States because one of her aunts was here.
Yeah.
That was the situation. And then she just worked her way. She had a struggle, you know. It's like I always say, like, my mom, she became my hero.
Amazing journey.
Yeah. Because she did so much to, like, make sure that my life was, like, as pleasant as possible to like so I could be here today.
And you're the only one.
And I'm the only one.
That you know. You might have some half-brothers.
Who knows?
Jewish ones.
Yeah.
And show
business. Or whoever.
Yeah.
I wish. Maybe I can get, you know.
See, there's another
reason.
Like, what?
I'd be like, you've been casting this whole time? And you did.
So when did you start doing the comedy? You were just an L.A. kid?
Yeah, I was an L.A. kid. I wanted to do comedy. So I told my mom was the kind of lady that if I said I wanted to be a rock climber, she would like go buy ropes and sign me up for a class.
So when you were in high school, what were you like thinking?
I don't know what I was thinking yet. I wasn't a great student. I didn't know what I wanted to do yet.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to like West LA College for like a couple of years trying to like, and I did all this just because my mom wanted me to be a college graduate. I mean, that was the whole, it was all for her. It wasn't for me. And then I transferred into USC.
Oh, yeah?
Because she was working there, so I got like tuition remission. I didn't have to pay, but I just did terrible.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. And then I started, and then I was telling her, you know, I want to do this. And then so like I took a class. She signed me up for this class, and it was taught.
When were you coaching basketball?
It was like, it was around that time.
So you quit college and you're
coaching.
Yeah.
I was like, I got a job, you know, so I was like part time. I was working at a school like as like the PE coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, so I was coaching the after school sports.
Well, how'd you qualify for that job?
You don't have to have any to work at some Catholic grammar school. You don't have to like, you know, they're not looking for you to be like, you know, you're just working with the kids after school. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was 19. You know what I mean? So it didn't matter. And then I started after that. I was just working jobs. And then I started working at the high school that I graduated from. That they needed somebody to work in the library. Then I started working with the then I got a job in the office being a registrar. You know, I was
miserable?
It was miserable because I didn't know what I wanted to be. So then I decided, you know what? While I'm doing that, I want to be a teacher. So then I started going to like, I took my credits from USC and all this stuff, and I went to Mount St. Mary's. They had an adult college on the weekends.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. But then, as I'm doing that, I sign up for a comedy class.
But you were getting laughs as the basketball coach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Were you always getting laughs?
Yes. I've always been a funny person.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and then emotionally funny person. So if like I'm angry, people are laughing at me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, so after a while, I started to go, oh, I got to use this.
That's a rare thing.
Yeah, there's something here.
Where you're even your anger is impotent.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like they're just laughing at you. The endearing, cranky guy.
Yeah, that's what it turned into. Yeah, and so I was like, all right. So then I took a class, and then like I took this like comedy acting class.
Which
at
one?
UCLA.
Class?
I took two UCLA extension classes. And it's funny enough, one of them was in stand-up and one of them was in acting. The stand-up one was actually taught by Sandy Shore, if you can believe that.
But wait, I thought she had her own thing.
She was also doing a UCLA extension class.
Whoa, Sandy, Mitzi's daughter, who's like kind of strange. No?
Yeah, very strange.
Wasn't she Buddhist?
She was very strange. She told us that she slept with in a spaceship.
Oh, she what?
Yeah, she would tell. She said, I sleep in a spaceship.
Here, I thought it was Dice because she slept with Dice.
Well, that's a whole other monstrous story, right?
I guess I was sitting there like, I guess that's kind of a spaceship.
Yeah.
I don't know where to, but.
So it was like, that was weird. But then I got the bug after that. But then I didn't know what to do.
But did you learn anything from Sandy?
I learned how to be on stage for first time.
What was the curriculum like? What'd you guys do?
Well, you know, it was like, I always recommend anyone that if you want to start doing comedy, take one class.
Yeah,
just to be comfortable being on stage around people that are going to make you feel safe.
Huh. Oh, right. Yeah, it's a way to get on stage without being totally terrified.
Yes, yeah. And then like you could also take 10 weeks to like let me work on these dumb jokes.
Yeah, and you know all the people.
Yes, exactly.
And you're all going over your jokes.
And then we had like a showcase
at like the Belly Room
in the OR.
In the OR.
The first time I ever did comedy on stage was in the OR,
and that was Sandy's deal with her mom.
Yeah. You know, and then I remember I was like, oh, I love this. But yeah. I didn't know what to do after that.
Right.
So then I.
What was the acting class?
It was just a comedy acting class at UCLA. And I remember this was the first time my mom.
Yeah.
My mom saw me and it was the first time that she believed in me.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when you tell this woman wanted me to be a lawyer, doctor or businessman.
Yeah.
And I say, well, I actually want to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But then when she saw me, she was like, oh, he could do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good feeling. And then, you know, then I was working. I had jobs. And then, you know, when you're in LA, I don't know how to get on stage. I didn't know what to do. Like, taking a class is safe. But then after that, it's all up to you.
And you've got your 9 jokes?
Right. Signing up for open mics.
And that's what you started doing?
Yeah. And I remember when I was doing open mics, it was like Jamie Kennedy was doing open mics Hot Pocket guy was doing open mics. I was 22. You know what I mean?
Gaffigan?
Gaffigan was doing open mics. Yeah, man. This was like way back in the day. And so what happened was I stopped because I didn't know. I had so many bad experiences on stage that I was like, I can't do this.
So it's 28 years ago.
You know what I mean?
Or so.
Yeah. And then it took me like, it was when I was 30.
But that was just when there were mics at clubs, right? You couldn't.
No, they were like coffee houses.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah.
There were?
Yeah. There was weird little coffee houses all over the place. There was this place on Venice called Pedersen's.
Huh.
And that was like a weekly show. And then what happened was I quit for like 8 years.
So you did, like, that's funny because that happened to me too. I did stand up one summer after I'd done it in college with another dude, and I did it one summer for real, doing open mics and shit, and it was like 84, and then I didn't do it for another 3 years until I graduated college. Then I immediately came out here and started doing it.
See, I wish again. I would. I didn't even have that journey. I just stopped.
Yeah.
And then it was when I was 30 years old.
What turned you? What made you go like, fuck?
Well, I didn't want to wake up 50 and be like, I didn't follow my dream.
No, but I mean, what stopped you when you were doing open mics? Just sort of.
Oh man, I had so many. I remember. I'll never forget this. You know who J. Anthony Brown is?
No.
Oh well, he's just like old school black comic, and yeah. I'm at this club. It's called Mixed Nuts at the time. It's not a comedy union.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's on Pico by Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
No, I remember that place.
It was called Mixed Nuts way back in the day.
Is the union still open?
I don't know.
Right.
So I'm
it's a black club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there in the back with a bunch of comics. He goes up, he's hosting and he's killing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he don't know who's going next. He looks over at all the comics. Who next?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there in the front and it's literally like everybody take a step back. So I go, oh shit, okay, guess it's me. I go up, I start doing my jokes. 2 minutes in, he's giving me the light.
Yeah.
So I get off stage and he goes on and does 20 minutes about how bad I was.
Oh no. Yeah.
Just like killing
yeah.
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, who wants to deal with this?
Yeah.
I felt terrible about myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And I just stopped. I to this day regret that.
What happened to that guy?
He's still around.
Does he know this story?
Yes, because I was on a radio show he was hosting, and I talked to him about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, he did this to me, and he was just laughing about it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And so then,
and then
it was,
he said, yeah, but you're on radio. I do TV.
I know. I felt like it worked out for me.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like one of those things that I always, like, people say, don't live with regret, and I don't believe in that. I believe, like, it's okay to have regret. Because you remember not to do that ever again.
Right.
It's okay
right.
to be like, this is a memory I have that I'm going to make sure, and I'm going to pass that on to other people.
Right.
I'm going to say like, hey, you know, if you stop. It's like I almost regret, too, like not getting into a relationship earlier in my life.
Right.
Because it's like.
Did you have opportunities?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And it was like I've realized, oh, wow, maybe it is a better road to be like 30 having kids and then you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like that kind of thing where you go,
you're not
you
in
know,
a terrible window. If you really want to do it, you know, 50 is not terrible.
It's not terrible, but you're just thinking about like when your daughter or I son know. Is 30, yeah. you're 80.
Yeah. Right. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. You know, so but it's not. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No, I know.
But what I'm saying is like it's like one of those things you should think about it. I tell young men all the time now. Yeah. Think about it.
You talk about telling people as if you're running some after school program for people. Yeah. But I
that's what comedy is sometimes.
I guess so. I mean, I used to do a whole bit about being old dad because I was with a younger woman who wanted a kid. And it's like remembering when I was a kid, the kids that had old dads.
Yeah.
Like after school, you're waiting. And
I know.
And this old guy drives up. Like, who's that? And he's like, that's my dad.
I know. Just like, embarrassed.
Yeah. How old is he? I don't even know.
I know. And then I have to have my electric walker.
Right. That's what I said. And then the kid goes, I got to go. I got to help him.
I know. It's like, oh, no. I don't want to be that guy. I'm like, oh, no. I got to make sure I
don't know. They love you no matter what, apparently.
Yeah, but still, you don't want them to have that.
You don't know what you want.
Who knows?
You know, you don't know what you're going to be like.
I don't know
what they're going to be like. It's all speculative.
Yeah.
It's all based on your own fear.
But it's based off our own experience, too, because like you're saying.
Yeah, but that's not that kid's experience. I mean, that kid didn't really say that. I made up that kid. It's weird when you have an old dad, but you know, my recollection is they don't know that. I mean, they can compare.
I think they figure it out when they're at the park and the young dad is fucking throwing the ball and running.
Yeah.
And you're sitting on a lawn chair just like, you know, you got it.
Good job.
Keep going. You know? So it's like, I want to have experiences. So.
All right. Well, you better get on it then.
I'm trying. I'm engaged. All right. I got a nice, she's got a nice ring. She's 32.
Yeah.
You know, we still gotta put her down, but you know.
Yeah, put her down? What does that mean?
That's just a joke women are 30, you gotta put them down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's just a joke.
And does that mean?
Sorry.
It's all right.
All the female listeners right now, just they just turned it. That's the moment where they hate me.
He
loves his mom, but oh no, he's a bastard.
Yeah, what an asshole. Mama's boy asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's right. It'll be okay.
That'll be the name of my new album.
Yeah, Mama Boy Asshole.
Yeah.
So when you go back, how do you re-enter? I mean, what'd you do for 8 years when you're out in the wilderness?
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. That's when I started working. I was like, that's when I started, you know, I was working at a school. I was like coaching basketball, working in the library. In the back of my head, I was like, I just thought, you know, I'll never.
Did you always think about that guy saying those things?
Yeah. And not even just that. It was like when you're in L.A., it's hard to like understand how do you get on stage? There's nobody going, here's how you do it. There's no like path. There's no
you got to go meet another comic.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't know anyone. I didn't, you know. And so it wasn't until I was 30 and I was like, I'm going to go to open mics.
Yeah.
And then I had my buddy Jeff, and we started together. And I remember telling him he didn't want to do it anymore. And I saw another buddy of ours, Eric Edwards. He calls and he's like, hey, man, we're at this open mic. Want me to sign you guys up? And I go, yeah, I'm on the phone. I go, yeah, sign us up. And Jeff's saying, no, I don't want to do it. I go, yeah, sign us up, man. We signing up for this thing. Because when you're first coming up, you like that companionship.
Well, that's, you got to have
at
it.
An open mic.
Well, you got to have it. You got to have the.
But check it out. I don't agree, actually. Because when I got off the phone, my buddy Jeff yells at me. He goes, I don't want to go. If you want to go, just go. And so for the first time the next day, I went to an open mic by myself. And I realized this is how you're supposed to do it.
I just mean that it's nice to have people you come up with.
I get that.
Yeah.
But come up with them, you're going, you're
right,
not.
Right. You don't need each other.
It's not a crutch.
Right, like, no, you know right. What I mean? I get, no,
and
I
so
get.
Then I started to be like, oh, I could leave here and go someplace else now. And
sure.
I really started to process. And I realized, but I was older. When you're 30, I realized you have to cultivate relationships. You have to like.
Yeah, I never knew that part.
You have to make your peers think you're funny because they're the ones that get you work. They're the ones that introduce you. And it was like all these things that I figured out later.
Yeah.
And then here I am. So I started really doing comedy when I was 30.
Yeah.
That other shit was just like a pipe dream of like, just like, you know.
What was that, like a year you did that?
A dare, you know what I mean?
But was it like, how long did you do that?
It would be like, I would go to an open mic every 6 months.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I wasn't really doing it.
So how long did it take you to, you know, so where'd you get in first?
I got in, I went to the Queen Mary.
The boat?
Yeah. They had a comedy club there.
Holy shit.
It was called...
Long Beach?
Yeah, Long Beach.
Yeah.
This crazy guy ran this club.
I kind of remember this.
And then I would do comedy there. And then I started to go to the Ice House. They had the Annex Room.
Oh, yeah, the little room over there.
And they would do like three shows on Friday, three shows on Saturday. Yeah. And then from there, I got in at the Ha Ha.
The Ha, yeah.
And then from the Ha Ha.
In the Valley.
In yeah.
The
then in this Burbank. Process, too, I was trying to get a showcase in front of Mitzi at the Comedy Store. Because,
yeah, that's still the grail.
Yeah, because
showcase for the witch.
So because I knew Ahmed was the one that like he got me in. So he got me a showcase. The woman didn't even talk to me.
Yeah.
She didn't even look at me.
Yeah.
So then it was like 2 years later through Tommy that I finally got a showcase in front of her again in the main room, and she actually said something to me. It's the only time she ever talked to me.
What'd she say to you?
She walked through the hallway
yeah.
and she looked at me and said, "You were funny." And then they took her out. And I was like, man, I might be one of the last people to get that.
Yeah. She was that far gone?
Yes. Because yeah, they were bringing her to the main room.
When I was a doorman there, like, you know, just to be recognized as anything, it was like, it could go either way. Most times you're like, I just don't want her to see me. I'm working here.
Yeah.
Like, does she have to see me? Can I avoid it somehow? And then all of a sudden you'd find out, oh, she saw you. She's paying attention. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But it was a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
If you could just keep working without her noticing.
Well, I mean, I came up at a time that it was just different.
She told me, you should wear a scarf.
Yeah, it was
you're a poet.
Oh, God.
I'm like, okay.
I didn't get none of that stuff.
Oh, I wore a scarf.
It was Tommy who was doing that. He was pretending that she was saying these things to him.
I know. I used to say to Tommy, he'd go like, no, she really wants you to go forth. I'm like, dude. Is she still alive even?
Yeah. It was a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
It was like the Bates house. You know, yeah, like what's going on up there? Like, he, like, became her.
Yeah, he did. But you know what? People talk a lot of shit about him, and I think there was a method to the madness of, like, what he was trying to do.
No, he honored the system.
Yeah, he did.
And I got no beef with that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he did bad shit, and he was a weirdo, and a lot of people have problems with him, but he gave me spots.
He would say racial things. He would say, like, weird things.
I don't know anything about
that. But I got what he was trying to do. It was a method to the madness.
He was trying to do her method.
Right.
Kind of. But he, you know, all I know is I came in as a pro. He treated me like a pro, and that was that.
Yeah. It is what it is.
So this is like, what, a couple years in?
Yeah, no. This was like, I'm trying to think now. It was like 2006 is when, like, I.
So right when the club was, like, at its worst.
Yeah, Tommy had already taken over now. And
right.
So it was at its worst right before that when they were doing alphabetical order and it was Duncan.
Yeah.
You know, it was like craziness. So he takes over. He's like, he's got these
guys. But the
guys
crowds
now.
weren't there.
They
were
starting to come, though.
Okay.
They were starting to come.
Yeah.
You know, so,
so
was
you
like,
were there for all the crazy stuff.
Yeah. So I started to get in. And then at that point, it was like, all right, you know, 2008, I got Just for Laughs, you know.
New faces. Yeah.
And then it was 2009. I booked Workaholics.
And that, how many seasons was that?
We did 7 seasons of that.
Wow, that's.
And then
that
after that, I was just like, you know, I'm off and running. Yeah, I'm in. You know what I mean?
7 seasons.
Yeah.
Got your health insurance.
Yeah, man.
Got your draw on the road.
You know, well, it was weird. A college show doesn't really bring a draw for a comedy club because college kids don't have money.
But they know you on
campus. I think those guys now are starting to come watch me.
Oh, yeah.
Because now they're 37 and they got 2 kids and they're like, oh, that's the dude from that show that I love. You know what I mean? Now they're like, oh, he's a comic, you know?
Yeah.
Now they're like, you know, that kind of deal. So.
How much you working in film and television?
As much as I would love to work all the time, but it just is what it is. Like, I just did a pilot. It didn't get picked up.
Mm.
You know, but then I did a movie. I went to New York and did this Ray Romano movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so that was great. He was the director.
Oh, really?
And wrote it. Watching the scenes. He's a great actor, man.
No, he is a great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. And so he was, you know.
He
so
wrote the, it and he's directing
it? He's wrote it and he's directing it.
Yeah, he's really running with that shit. You know,
yeah.
It's interesting. It's so beautiful to see him do. Like, he's one of the only guys of his generation. He won. He already won the grill. Made $1 billion. Yeah. And now he's like, well, now I want to really learn how to do
this.
All the stuff. I want to become a good actor, and now I guess he's going to be, he wants to be a director and a writer. It's like,
it was a great story, man. I really enjoyed watching the work and the people.
And he's already got all the money in the world.
But that's, you know, you always.
It's great that he keeps going.
You always want the last job you'll ever need, and everything else you do after that is what you want.
Yeah, but a lot of times what they want is just to repeat themselves. And
true enough.
And, you know.
Like, he's not in another sitcom. He's like, I did that. Everybody loves Raymond's done. I did it. I made all the money I'm ever going to make.
And he became a good actor.
So now he's like, and I want to be in things.
Did you act with him?
No, we didn't have a. Did we have a scene? No, we didn't really have. Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Good part?
It's a small part. I play like a wedding DJ.
Ah.
You know, that like, but this, the wedding DJ, they have at every event.
Right.
At the christening, at the graduation party. You know, and I'm that same guy. And then I end up getting with his sister in the movie.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
What I mean?
Okay.
So that's, it was nice. Fun.
That's pretty good. Funny part.
You know, it was great. You know, he was, I'm in the hotel. I had to like quarantine for like 3 days. Cause I just got my second shot.
Yeah.
And
how was this recently?
Yeah, it was recent.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he calls me.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like no ID, so I didn't answer.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like anything, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I get a message. You know, it's like, hey, this is Ray Romano. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Ray, how are you
I know
doing?
I'm going to talk to him because he's the director, but I didn't think I was going to talk to him like that. And I got to say, I was geeking out because it was like his voice is so distinct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is fucking Ray Romano on another. Yeah, you know, I feel like, am I Brad Garrett right now? You know what I mean?
Am I in the show?
Am I in the show? Am I on a neighbor right now? So it was great. And he was like, hey, let's go hang out. You know, he's like, me and him and the writer and then the other dude in the show, in the movie. He's like, we're going to go get some pizza and we're going to go to the cellar.
Yeah.
So I walk in with, you know, freaking John Gotti. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd never performed at the cellar before. But
did you go on?
I got on.
Did you like it?
It was great. It's very. Yeah. It reminds me very much of the Comedy Store.
Were you in the cellar down the basement?
Or we did two different shows.
We did the other place.
We did the other one and the.
Was that the underground?
Yeah, the underground. Yeah. And we did the main one. Yeah, you know? Yeah. But it was great. And then I got in. You know,
she let you in.
Yeah,
Esty let you in.
Yeah,
lucky you.
You know, but you know, it's funny. It's like he goes, you know, Eric Griffin, right? And I take my mask down, and she goes, oh yeah. And I was like, you don't know who the fuck I am. Yeah, stop acting like him. You just love this guy, and he's vouching for me. So he says, he goes, because we're gonna be there 2 weeks now. He's like, well, let's come again. You know, first of all, we bumping people, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
So he raised like, hey, let's tell her, let's come Saturday. Yeah. And I go, hey, Ray, why don't we put ourselves on the lineup?
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, oh, you know what, you're right. Good idea.
Okay. Oh, really? Nice.
Good idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we want to bump people.
Right.
Know? I mean, you could do it, but it's like, come on, man.
You can't. No, he's dragging you along.
Yeah, yeah. Because people, I'm going to be like, oh, why is he, you know?
And you got Keith Robinson going that. Who the fuck?
Yeah, exactly, dude. It was like, so, but it was really cool. And then, and so I had that experience. So anyways, you work when you can.
Yeah.
At this point right now. So stuff comes up, I'll go out for it, and we just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, it's like when I did I'm Dying Up Here, that was like, I got that from, like, they saw me at the Comedy Store, man.
They were just there. They used to watch the store guys.
Yeah, they were just there that night, and, you know, it was like, I got the part 3 weeks later.
Did you meet Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he was there that night. I always tell the story, but it was like, it was so weird. Adam, he comes up to me and says, I'm about to go on stage.
Yeah.
He says, hey, Eric, Jim Carrey's here. My first thought was, is he bumping me?
Right, of course, yeah.
And I was furious, Mark. furious.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck is he doing here with $300 million in a bank, bumping people? He's never done comedy. He has done comedy in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Why is he here?
Yeah.
You know? So I went on stage with like anger in my soul, and I kill.
Right. It's so funny because I'm the same way. And anytime like I see the bumpers or the people that can, for whatever reason, like I'll see Burr.
Like, you're in town, Burr. Yeah, call in.
Yeah. I just say like, when are you going on? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'll bring you up. Just like that. Like, this is like just to curtail it. You know, like, I'm not before me. I don't want to wait.
Yeah, I just, you know, it is what it is.
I get so mad, dude.
It's because it's like, all you got to do is just be on a lineup.
Yeah.
Just let us know.
Yeah.
Can it be like that? Can it just be like there's 16 people on this lineup?
Yeah, right. Or you see it
can
like.
Can you be.
You look at the schedule and there's the Pauly Shore pop in. I'm like, really?
Oh, come on. do we need that?
Just put him on the lineup. You know, like, why not?
Oh, I did Pauly's movie. That's another movie I just did.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was just. The movie was called Guest House.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the premise of the movie is.
Right,
people have a house, and Pauly Shore is living in the guest house.
And
that's the premise.
As Pauly Shore.
Yeah, yeah. No matter what his character is, it's just Pauly Shore's living in the guest house. I thought it was nice. It was like an homage to like raunchy. Like
it seemed funny, but it came and went. Where is it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
People like it. I mean, I'll say it wasn't like, you know what? You're going to be like this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so funny about him is like, you know, he talks about when he gets on stage, how he used to be the character. It's like, he's still a guy. And by the end of the 15 minutes, he's the guy. You know, the Wheeze is back.
Yeah.
And people have fond memories of the Wheeze.
That's what I'm saying.
It's weird.
It's okay that he was like one of the largest stars at a particular time. Like when you talk about just a comedy world,
yeah.
Paulie was huge.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He was huge. Like him or not, he was huge.
And now he's like a nostalgia act. He means something to somebody.
It's it's like,
remember when we were 15?
Like, there's going to be like a Bravo show with like him, Gary Busey.
I think it's already happened.
You know, they're going to go on like, they're going to go on like tours of inns.
Yeah. So are you working tonight?
Yeah, I'm at the store tonight.
What time?
I don't know.
Which room?
I think I'm in the OR. I don't
Me
know.
Too.
I think I'm in the OR.
I'm in the OR. I'm see what time I'm on.
Yeah, what time are we on tonight?
I'm on. I'm at 9:45.
Oh, I'm probably after you. That's what they always. No, wait. You can't.
Sometimes I'm after you.
You're not at 9:45 because I'm at 9:45. Then we're in different rooms. I'm in the main room.
Oh yeah, I'm in the OR.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be on stage at the same time.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And I'll be hearing you. I'll be on stage in the OR, and I'll be hearing the big laughs. I'm like, oh, fucking Eric. Killing down the hall.
What are you talking about? People like listening to you.
I know. What does that mean? That's a backhanded compliment.
You're not a belly laugh comic.
Sure,
you're not
I
a
am.
Belly laugh
I
comic.
I can get a belly laugh.
But that's not what you want. You want people to. You want people to go like this. Good one.
No.
You want people to be like, that's a smart one.
I get some belly laughs.
I know.
I'm not saying,
but that's not what
I can do it.
That's not your goal.
I like the laughs where they're like, "What?"
Yes, exactly. You want the ones where people go, you got me with that one."
But that's a laugh. But
it is. Like,
but I can.
It's a natural. First of all,
I can roll it out, dude. You want to go? I'll belly right. laugh.
Next time I'm after you, I want to see like an all want, belly laugh set.
All belly laugh set.
You're not sitting on that stool.
You want me to work?
You're up. I want you to be up with
walking
energy,
around.
Walking around, giving it to the crowd.
Old
people
Mark.
Are going to be like, oh, shit.
Holy Christ.
This is 1976, Mark Maron.
He's got it in him still.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
But you're at a good place right now.
I'm okay, yeah.
You're at a good place.
Thank you, sir. You too. Good talking to you.
Oh, that's it. All right. Thank you.
You all right? Do you want to plug the podcast again?
Yeah, Riffin' with Griffin. And I also game. I'm on Twitch all the time on Eric Griffin Gaming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love it. I'm the old man gaming.
I have no idea what that world is.
Yeah, it's just me. I play video games and people watch me and they pay me to do it.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, that's the gig I want to keep.
All right. All right, Eric Griffin, Riffin' with Griffin is the podcast. You can also see him on Workaholics if you haven't seen that show. He's also on I'm Dying Up Here, and he does the stand-up. Okay? All right, now I will, I think I'll play some guitar.
Man.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.